chapter 23, the first portion of chapter 23, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 12. Verses 1 through 12 of 1 Samuel 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' And David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, and I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David in Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, 'God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars.' And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring thither the ephod.' And then David, 'O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? And will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then said David, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver thee up.'" Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, to come before you this afternoon, help us to understand that oftentimes when we do that which is right and according to your will, we still must face adversity. And when that happens, Lord, where should our trust lie? And Lord, may we look to you and may we learn from David's account in this passage this afternoon. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting what the nation of the Philistines was doing against Israel. It's not unlike what Hamas is doing against Israel today. They would come in and raid Israel and take from Israel what Israel was doing. In this particular case, Israel had gone to all the effort of planting the crops, seeing the crops grow, going out and harvesting the crops, and then bringing them to the threshing floor where they would actually take and separate the grain from the chaff and the straw and get it ready to be used and consumed by animals and men. And so Israel had done all the work, and now the Philistines were coming and they were raiding the threshing floors of Israel, and specifically in the area of the city of Keilah. Now, Keilah is a city that's located in Judah, and we see that David and his men, there was 400 men with David at this particular time, were hiding out in the land of Judah that had been given to the tribe of Judah. And as they hear the fact that the Philistines are raiding Keilah and raiding their threshing floors, and the people are crying for help. Now, a couple of things I want you to look at here. Saul knows what Keilah is all about, because Saul knows about Keilah. He knows it's a gated city, a barred city, and he knows where it's at. Saul also knows all about the Philistines. He's been waging war against them since he's taken over as king. Remember, back he was warring against the Philistines when he sat in his tent worrying about Goliath, and David came and defeated Goliath when Saul made all these promises to David, and now he's already reneging on all of those promises, and now he's trying to kill David because David had stood for the Lord. If you remember in looking at Saul's life, everything that Saul did, he never inquired of the Lord. He always did it on impulse, and he also did it on pressure, wherever he got pressure from. If he's getting pressure from people, he'd respond to the people. If he's getting pressure from his enemies, he'd respond to his enemies. He did never inquire of God. The only time he ever even appeared to inquire of God was when Samuel would inquire on his behalf, but Saul never did. There's a difference between Saul and David. You see that David, when he hears about what's happening to this city and that they're being raided by the Philistines, he immediately, instead of saying, okay guys, let's go, he instead inquires of the Lord. He goes to the Lord and said, should I go? Do you want me to go? Is it right for me to go? And the Lord reveals to him, yes, go. Now, when he goes before his men and tells them, okay, we're going to go to Keilah, God's given us the direction to go there and save the people from the Philistines, they are afraid. Now, why are they afraid? Well, number one, they know that the man that is going about seeking to destroy and kill David and them, because they're David's men, is Saul. They also realize that they are in the heart of where Saul has his greatest influence, and because he's a Benjaminite, the land of Benjamin attaches to the land of Judah, and we know that Saul also knows that David is in the land of Judah, and so he's looking for David, and he's got the Benjaminites from the previous studies that we've done as his main soldiers because they're his kinsmen, and to go out and fight against David. And so David's men are afraid. And so David, once again, instead of saying, okay guys, just buck it up and let's go, he again inquires of the Lord. This is a pattern that David has just about throughout his whole life. The only time that David doesn't do that are the few times that David got in real trouble because he did things that the Lord did not want him to do, and he didn't inquire of the Lord. With all that happened with Bathsheba and that, he never inquired about any of that of the Lord. He didn't inquire of the Lord when he numbered the men of Israel when God had told him not to. He didn't inquire and say, did you really mean it? And he got in trouble for that. But we see that the reason that David had a heart after God, and God refers to him as a man after my own heart, is that he, just about every time that an issue came up in his life, he would inquire of the Lord. He'd go to the Lord and ask, Lord, what's your will? Now, a lesson can be learned there for us as Christians. When situations come up in our life, do we go to the Lord in prayer, and do we ask God, what is your will? Show me from your word. Reveal to me what your will is in this area of my life. And sometimes what happens is God can reveal it through his word, but we don't want to listen, and so then we ignore it, and then it's when we get in trouble. But we are to seek the will of God. And we've been studying in James on Sunday mornings, and this morning we looked at the fact that James says we're to be doers, not just hearers of the word. And if you're just a hearer of the word, you know it's in the Word, but you never make application to your life to actually make it a part of your life and do that in your life. And James tells us, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, that we're all to be doers, not just hearers. Well, David was a doer of the Word of God. When God's Word was revealed to him, David acted on it. And so we see here when he goes and inquires of the Lord, and the Lord says, go, David goes. Now, the Lord tells him, I am going to smite the Philistines, and I'm going to use you to do it. And so David believes and trusts in God's word, and so he goes, and that's exactly what happens. David destroys the Philistines, and immediately the word gets back to Saul, and you would think, wow, Saul would be filled with joy, because David defeated the Philistines. He saved the city, and Saul didn't have to come and bring his waste his troops to come against the Philistines, and he'd be encouraged. But instead, Saul is really angry. Why? Because all of a sudden David is once again getting more accolades and more prestige in the eyes of the people for the things he does. But all of David is doing is obeying the Lord, where Saul is disobeying. We see that Saul, when he hears this, he doesn't inquire of the Lord. He doesn't even ask God, well, what do you want me to do? David's defeated the Philistines. What should I do now? None of that. Instead, it says, Saul becomes angry, and he puts out a word, I want to gather the whole army of Israel, and we're all going to go after David, and I'm finally going to be able to catch him and trap him and kill him. And this is what Saul wants to do. Philistines aren't even a thought in Saul's thinking process. The real enemies of Israel, those that are doing harm to Israel, those that Satan's using to try and destroy Israel, Saul isn't concerned about them. He's instead concerned to destroy the defender of Israel and really to come against the will of God. And so he puts out that word and he begins to gather his men and they start heading for this city. Now, the thing that makes it interesting is that this is appears to be a fortified city, because it says it has bars and gates, so there was a fortification around the city. And Saul thinks, I've got David trapped because he's not going to be able to get out. Once I get my army there, I can surround the city. David is trapped. I can go in and I can kill him. And it's revealed to David what Saul's intents are. So what does David do about those? He immediately gets his men together and they leave the city before Saul can get there and ensnare him. But before he leaves, he again inquires of the Lord. Now, the people are thrilled that David came and saved them. And oftentimes, people will be thrilled with you when you do what's right and it benefits them. And even other Christians may be encouraged by you taking a stand for truth and a stand against evil and a stand for the Lord. But does it mean that they won't turn on you when they have opportunity? And that's exactly what happened with the people of the city of Keilah. What they did is they were thankful to David, but David inquires of the Lord about what will happen. Will these people turn on me and hand me over to Saul? Because he hears Saul's coming. He knows what Saul's intent is, to surround him so he can't get away. And then either the people are going to have to defend him before Saul or turn him over to Saul, lest Saul's army comes in and destroys the city. And just a side note here, it just shows you how wicked Satan is, in that he would place Saul in a position where he could destroy the very people that he was called to defend if they defended David. I mean, just look at that whole series of events that was laying out to happen. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you see the same thing happening today where you have people that will destroy two Bible-believing Christians who hold up the truth instead of coming against the enemies of God when the Bible-believing Christians speak out against the adversary and what's happening. Just to give you an example from current day events, what's happening in the Middle East. You realize that there are Christian churches and those that claim to be Christians that are coming against Israel and saying Israel's the murderers, Israel's the one that should be chastised, not Palestine or the Palestinians or Hamas. There was this last week, some of you may listen to Charlie Kirk. He's got a radio program on 1100 The Flag every day, and Charlie's very conservative. He's also a Bible-believing Christian. And he had as one of his ambassadors, which are people that work for him at the college campuses, one of his ambassadors came out and spoke those very words, that we need to support Hamas, we need to support the Palestinians, and Israel should be chastised, and it was all Israel's fault. What was Charlie going to do? Well, Charlie fired her. He let her go. He needs to be commended for doing that. But there's a lot of people that would say, well, maybe that person's right. And you realize there's a lot of churches today that are not getting it right. They don't look at the scriptures. They don't realize the promises of God. They don't realize the prophecies of God about the last days, and that Israel will be brought under assault by the whole world, and that who should we be standing with? Israel, the people of God, not a world system that's in rebellion to God. And if you look at the world countries and nations, their philosophies and what they believe, you will see that they are in direct opposition to the principles of God's Word. And true Bible-believing Christians need to stand on God's Word, not against it. And that's exactly where David found himself in this situation. Are these people who he saved going to stand with him or against him? Well, he goes to the Lord and inquires, and it's amazing because they're standing against him. God says, no, they'll turn you in. They'll give you over to Saul. And so David knows that he needs to flee. And so he flees before he can be entrapped in this fortified city where he won't be able to get out. And that if the people do defend him, Saul will kill him. This also is an interesting perspective, too. Saul would not kill the Amalekites, remember? He preserved some of the Amalekites' lives. He preserved the Amalekite cattle. He wouldn't... But yet we see Saul went to Nob, the city of the priests, after the priests helped David, and he destroyed the whole city, killed all the women, children, all the animals, all the men, anybody or anything that was living in that city. He was willing to kill it because they had helped David. But he wouldn't kill the enemies of God when he was instructed to kill them by God because of the whole horrendous, wicked activities they were involved in, and they would not repent. And it was God's judgment that they needed to die. He wouldn't do it. And now he's placed in a similar situation here, and I'm sure that the people of this city of Keilah, they heard what happened to the city of Nob, that Saul came and wiped them out. And that's why they're going to be willing to turn David over to Saul. But it just shows you how wicked wickedness is. And it can come in the name of God, because Saul was supposedly representing the leadership of the nation of Israel, because he was king. But he really wasn't. He was representing Satan. And there are many churches that do not preach the gospel today, do not believe the Bible today. And so consequently, if you turn your back on the Word of God and don't believe that it is really the truth, you're going to be on the wrong side of issues like Israel and Hamas. And you're going to join with a world system that would come against Israel. So we need to understand, number one, we need to inquire of the Lord when we're in trouble. Number two, we need to understand that it doesn't mean that should not impact what others think or their actions towards us, whether we're going to stand for truth and do what's right. But also we need to call in the name of the Lord and seek how we are to be delivered out of situations where the ungodly, even under the name of Christianity, would come against us, and how we can still continue to stand for truth as David and his men did. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given to us to study your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to become inquirers of you. Help us to seek to do your will and to stand upon your truth and to support the truth and to do what you call us to do, no matter what the consequences that the world would throw at us when we do it. And help us to realize that you are the one that is there to be our protector, our shield, and the one who is our great deliverer. go with us and help us to understand this truth and apply it in the week ahead as we have opportunities to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus. This we ask in your name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 553. 553.